Hey everybody, Sarah Benincasa here. Welcome to another episode of Well, This Isn't Normal, the podcast about dealing with all of this stuff, whatever that may mean to you. This podcast gets into emotions, feelings, psychology, physical health, etc., etc. We talk about coping mechanisms, but we also sometimes do talk about finance. And this episode, we don't overtly hit the financial thing a lot, but I wanted to talk to one of my dearest friends, Gia Cognata, not just because she's funny and wild and outrageous and creative and beautiful and all those other things, but because she has begun to be rather successful using a platform that I think has really exploded during the pandemic, which is OnlyFans. So she does sexy, erotic, beautiful, sensual things on there, and people subscribe and they can tip her and all these different things and get private videos or just look at the videos she makes that are available to all. And it's really interesting to me. As you know, this podcast is funded in part by Patreon. That's patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa. You can give as little as $1 a month and help support this and my other weird creative endeavors. That's patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa. Much appreciation to everybody who contributes there. And you'll also, by the way, get my newsletter 4 times a month, Serotonin, which is packed full of suggestions for things to read and watch and listen to. And sometimes there's an advice column and sometimes just me writing about different things or access to photos you won't see anywhere else, things like that. So patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa. It really helps a lot. Thank you for being there. Anyway, I use Patreon, but I know that a lot of people use OnlyFans and create content specifically for OnlyFans. And so that is where the money comes in. Whereas for Patreon, there is some stuff that's exclusive to Patreon, but typically as on Patreon, you are a patron, right? I am an artiste of some kind, and there are lots of artists of some kind, makers, etc., etc., on Patreon, much like me, patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa. And, you know, you're funding stuff, you're getting stuff there, you're getting perks and different things there at different levels, but that's not usually where you're, that's not usually the only place you're experiencing what I create, right? I write essays, I do this podcast, etc. But for OnlyFans, that is an entertainment venue that is specifically set up so that you can create content on that platform for that platform, and then your audience can access you via that platform, you know, like Twitch, for example, in its way. So I wanted to talk to Gia about the process of making things, how much time she spends, how people can interact with her there, why she chooses to work there, and also to go with her, talk about her extraordinary life and her extraordinary family. She's one of 6 children. Born and raised in California, and just kind of get into some of those things with her. And we get into talking about the concept of censorship and what is cancel culture? Does it exist? Is it real? What's bullshit and what isn't? She's just a barrel of laughs and a smart cookie. And I really love her. And I hope you enjoy our conversation. Thank you so much for being here. I will talk to you after the interview is over. Hey, everybody. I am here with one of my best friends and favorite fucking people in the world, Giannina Gabrielle Cognata.
Yeah, I do have a full name. I only sign my name like Gia, like I'm Cher. Like my dad saw my signature and was like, what the fuck is that? Sign your last name. I was like, I don't. It's even on my driver's license. How dare you?
Yeah, it didn't stick in my mind that your full name was Giannina until truly like, it's just Giannina Gabrielle Cognata, right?
Correct.
It didn't like, your full name didn't stick in my head until like last year. I don't know, just because I always think of you as Gia and I forget that it's a diminutive, if you will.
Yeah, it's 9 letters. You know, so like in grade school, I was like, that's fucking ridiculous. I'll be spelling 3 letters. You guys, I'll see you later. I've never gone by Giannina, and no one's ever called me that. Like not even my parents. So it's just like a legal, like that's what's on my passport. You know,
Well, everybody, all the children who are all adults now, all six of you kids, all have really beautiful, like, mellifluous names. But I feel like most or all of them are pretty Italian. And I wonder if growing up in LA, if there were a lot of other little kids running around with names like Giannina and Sabrina.
Like, I always knew when it was my turn to come for, like, attendance, especially, like, the first time, because they would just look at the name and be like, oh, God, Christ. No. Who is it? I'm like, that's me. Just call me Gia. It's fine.
So you were born in L.A., right?
I was born in Burbank, and I have vowed to die in Burbank with Sabrina, as you know. So it's always like, oh, it's always scary when we're in Burbank. I'm like, is this it? Are we dying tonight?
We hung out with your younger sister, Oriana, who's a really talented musician. We hung out with her in Burbank. And I remember having a brief moment going, is Gia going to die here? And then I thought, no.
If Sabrina's not there, I'm not going to die.
Oh, you die in Burbank with Sabrina. Does Sabrina also die?
Look, there are plans in place that I'm not really sure. Like, that was in place a long time ago, but then recently I watched, like, that cryogenics documentary about that terribly sad family that has this three-year-old daughter, and then they're, like, I mean, like, they're intellectual, you know what I mean? Like, this guy's a scientist, but then, like, he's so grief-stricken that a company like Alcor can step in and be like, you give us $80,000, we'll freeze your three-year-old daughter's head. And they're like, yeah, that sounds great. Like, freeze her head and technology will catch up to our, like, obsession or whatever, you know, our grief. And, like, it hasn't yet, unfortunately. And so I have plans now to freeze Sabrina's head. So I have to be there when Sabrina dies, regardless. Like, cause I have to be able to be like, cool, fine. Let's cut her head off. Let's freeze it. Let's get it to Scottsdale. All
right? And there was a day. Well, just set the stage for everybody. There was a day where, so I'm on the East Coast, obviously they're on the West Coast. And there was a day when I guess I was busy. I forget what I was doing, but I was not responding to texts uncharacteristically. I will tell you,
it was 8 o'clock in the morning our time. It was early. And I had an existential crisis over this. Like, I was like, I am sort of crying. Okay. Cause it's sad, but also like, what? Why? Are we freezing her head? That seems like a massive waste of money. And you have a son who needs shoes or whatever. Instead, the son went into this fully obsessive mode where he was like, I'll be perfect. I'm going to take on, like, I'll do the research. And, like, he travels here. It's like, they chronicle this from 2012 to, like, now. This kid's, like, 17, 18. Like, he's done all this research, comes to talk to, like, a specialist that's actually brought, like, a sheep's brain, like, and done the neural mapping and brought it back from frozen and, like, legitimately comes here from, gosh, so fucking far away. Okay. Talks to his doctor, goes back, like, gets on FaceTime, talks to his dad, and is like, this doctor tells me that it is scientifically impossible without neural mapping already in place to bring her back with her memory. So it won't be her. And the dad, who is science minded, he is a scientist, was just like, well, they just haven't caught up to us yet. They'll figure it out. And I'm like, aren't okay. Cause what I'm hearing is maybe the technology wasn't very good when you froze her head. So, like, we're done freezing her head. Correct?
Nope. So this is the first that I'm hearing the details of the documentary, because all I knew really until this point was that one day you and Sabrina had sent me a bunch of messages that I had in one of our group chats that I hadn't looked at because I was doing something that was obviously less important. And all of a sudden you had sent this text that was like, look, you're going to see a lot of stuff on Twitter about me needing to freeze your head and Sabrina's heads. And yeah. I immediately was not shocked. I said, okay, like, let's go. I was just like, this seems fine. And I read it and I didn't know the details. I just knew that you had woken up, watched a documentary, and called your older sister relatively early in the morning to discuss frozen head plans.
Like 8 o'clock in the morning. I was like, here is the deal. Do I think it's fucking insane? Absolutely. But am I committed to you? Am I codependent? like enough to do this? 100%. Like, I will make enough money to freeze your whole body if you want. Like, then keep you frozen. But she was like, no, this body is broken. I would like a robot cop body. And I'm like, technology will catch up to us. I was told by this dad that also doesn't believe other scientists when they say it's an impossibility, I'll bring you back as a robot cop.
And she wanted guns for hands.
You have guns in your titties. We're going to go fucking crazy, man. We're going to make robot cop bodies. Like, I'll freeze you too. If I make enough money, I'll freeze your head. I'm freezing Lil. I'm freezing everybody.
My whole family. And I, what I said to Sabrina was, or I think I said to both of you, I was like, I think it's really nice that Gia cares about us enough that she would freeze our heads. I thought it was so sweet. And that's why I'm a sick person. Cause right. I was like, this is nice.
Illness. Cause you're like, oh my God, that's love. Is it not? I'm like, I'm pretty sure session. It's also controlling. Like, why do I need your heads? It's just weird. Nothing's going to happen to them. I just have them floating in like some shiny cylinder somewhere. Like, you're not probably not coming back, but man, if I could unfreeze you and be like, fucking did it.
Also, even if it doesn't work, we're going to look like you're a really talented, in addition to various other things, being super funny, being a scientist, being a professional investigator, being a model and queen. You also very talented makeup artist. You could do, like, let's say me and Sabrina, God forbid, die somehow, but our beautiful heads are perfectly preserved. And you could really do some great, like, looks on us and then have us floating in your house in a tank, and we would look good. It wouldn't make anybody feel weird because they'd be like, oh, here are these pretty people who just don't have bodies right now.
I mean, it might make some people feel weird, but here's my thing. I think that there's some science in the way of that. Like, I'm going to give you a look when you die, and then you're frozen in that look. I'm sorry. Do your makeup while you're in the goo.
Like, no, that's true.
You're in. That's your look. So you have to like pick a look, be committed to it, because that's going to be a good 300-400 years in there. Petition to change the cylinders from something you can't look through to like maybe something where I could see my friend's head.
Oh, so they're opaque right now? They're not see-through?
Oh, no. They are like, they're like stainless steel. Mm. You can only see your own reflection out of it. Isn't that a metaphor? It is. Like, I'm looking at myself because I'm the one with the problem. I just froze. I can't get through the grief. It's too much. And that's where I probably at this time have already become a hoarder. Like, I can't get through the grief. That's me. That's what's happening. So let me freeze you.
Let's just say, okay, I'm going to throw this at you. Let's say that the technology gets to the point where we at least get clear canisters so you can display these heads. Now, In this world, in theory, you're also going to be, you might be an immortal, I don't know, but you're going to live long enough. Let's just believe in this world that you're going to live long enough to unfreeze us. But it might be, let's say, 50 years or 80 years or 100 years, whatever. What look are you going to put on our faces in terms of makeup that it will be sufficiently timeless that when you unfreeze us, we're still going to look cool in the laboratory?
Personally, I would like to go all the way, like Korean makeup with the prosthetics and stuff. Like, you don't even look like, I've dressed you up like Woody Allen's face. You're there forever. And then I bring you back and I'm like, oh, you're, and make you look in the mirror and you're like horrified. I'm like, just kidding.
So you just want to punk us with prosthetics so that we look totally different.
Yeah. You tell me the look you want and then you come out like as your nemesis, somebody that you hate. I don't know why you hate Woody Allen, but you hate him.
I mean, I don't like him. I don't like him at all. So I think that's fine.
Okay, yeah, cool. He did the pervy thing where he touches like his daughter.
He's creepy. And so like, yeah, we can feel safe saying.
Okay, but what that if I had a really sexy stepson? I'm supposed to not touch him?
How old is he?
Like old enough to be touched.
So he's 18. He's 18. Yeah. Right. Well, in that case, and it's consensual, look, you're my dear friend. Okay. So if he is 18 and it's consensual, like, here's where I'm at with that. I don't know what his father is doing wrong that you're so lonely. So
I don't know.
Maybe I blame his dad.
Sweet looking kid.
I was listening to a story about this artist in New York. I don't remember his name. In the 40s, who was living with his wife and his mother-in-law. And he was trying to seduce his mother-in-law the whole time because he had like a hard-on for his mother-in-law. Ooh. Everyone was over 18, even though in 1940 or whatever, I'm sure you could be like 13 and they'd be like, that's fine. But everybody was over, and I haven't gotten to the part yet to find out if he ever hooks up with the mother-in-law. And this is the only history I really care about.
I definitely want to get involved with some family drama that's a little bit scarier than mine. I'm like, yeah.
That's the most interesting thing. I mean, my dream is to be the Andy Cohen for your family and just consistently have reunions and just make everybody talk to each other. I'll need a lot of security.
Bring it up. Let's go. Let's throw hands. I'm like, it's more of a Jerry Springer than... You know, you're going to have, there's going to be a bell and like my family go at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're tough. So I would be like the mediator, interlocutor, communicator, facilitator of conversation, but eventually it will break down. And I know like, what's my your role. Move?
My mom gets in the car and like, let's say hits one of us. Mm-hmm. It's only happened one time. So like, it probably won't happen again, but like, let's say that, how do you moderate that?
When I was driving around with Sabrina and she was like, that's where I fought with my mom in the street. And I was just like, yeah, like, yes.
That was a night. We had like kidnapped my underage sister and gone to a bar and my mom came hunting for her.
Oh, that's what happened. Okay.
It was like upstairs bar that had karaoke downtown. And like, I remember that my mom had showed up on one, like screaming in the downtown streets of LA. Like, okay, cool. That's just the place for it. You know,
it is. So, downtown LA is intense. Like that's like, the, yeah, it's not chill.
Mom, you're home. Your people are and she's screaming and Sabrina went downstairs and I remember exiting the elevator and I saw like a crowd of people outside and a guy ran into the bar and like screamed. He was like, there's some old bitch and some drunk bitch fighting outside. And I was like, I just turned around and got back in the elevator. I was like, I know exactly who that is. I'm good. I'm not going to be part of this. I don't think you guys need me.
Did she return to karaoke?
Sabrina did. Yeah. But then we went home and my mom had like staked us out there. Cause like, you don't get to be Little Italy investigations like from nowhere. My mom was like, now we're going to do a stakeout. So she took my underage sister and then like sat out at the gas station.
She by my
house. And that's where she hit Sabrina with the car, the gas station. She was slow rolling. You know what I mean? But she still hit her with the car.
I think I've heard three stories about, about your mom's slow roll hitting a child with the car.
We were adults at the time. It wasn't like
adults. They're adults.
She's never hit me with the car, but also like, hello, get out of the way of the car. Are you trying to get hit? She also hit Dimitri, who was trying to prevent her from leaving, I think, or something like that. So whatever. Like sometimes you got to hit a bitch with a car. Like men are. are scary too. Like, don't forget where your power's at. Get in that car and you run his ass over, sis. Run his ass over.
You know, I can't believe it's taken me this long to have you on. Well, this isn't normal because ultimately the essence.
Incredibly abnormal things so far. I have. I've been like, why can't I hit on my stepson, Sarah? You're like, I'm not sure. I actually think I have to look at a legal what can I say?
So tell me how, like, did you grow up going to public school or you were in Catholic school or what? You're the second of six children growing up in Los Angeles, California and its environs. Obviously mom is, you know, a strong character and there's a lot of strong characters in the family, but everyone's very good looking. So it's fine. And where do you go? What's your schooling experience like? Did you enjoy school?
It was the 90s. It's Los Angeles, blue skies, cocaine. No, I'm young. You know what I mean? We did go to St. Charles Borromeo in Studio City. It is a private Catholic school. I dug it. It is a small vibe. You got away with a lot, which I was into, you know, like I went the last, like in eighth grade, I went to a middle school. Like my parents moved out like towards Malibu Canyon. I went to AE Wright. Like it was, I was like, why? None of this makes sense. Why are we always walking to a different room? Keep us in one room. That one person can walk somewhere else. The teacher can't, what are we doing? Everyone's confused. I'm not even sure what we're doing. Why are you trying to make it so confusing for everyone? This is dumb.
I've driven past that church, St. Charles Borromeo in Studio City many times. It's a beautiful, it's, I think it's one of the prettiest from the exterior, like one of the prettiest churches.
From outside, it's gorgeous on the inside. I mean, you know, it's a church, so it's basically your regular cult. You're going to get kid touching. Like, are you checking all the boxes for religion? Are you touching kids? Are you fucking forcing people to do things that they probably shouldn't be doing? Like, are you making people feel shame about sex and their bodies? Like, you got to be checking these marks. And if you're not doing it, are you a religion?
I don't know.
So, yeah.
So St. Chuck B nailed it. And then eventually you went to public school for middle and high school?
Just like the last 3 months of eighth grade. And then I went into high school at Agora High.
Okay. And what was your high school experience like? I mean, did you, were you super studious? Did you have fun, a combination? Like what was happening?
I had like a super easy time in high school just because like, I didn't find the curriculum to be super hard. Like, I can pick up stuff really easily and I'm kind of a self-starter. So it doesn't really like, even if you taught it to me and I wasn't paying attention, I'll go home and teach it to myself. Like if they explained it in the book, I can fucking do it. Like that's how you did it. You looked at the directions. So I'm just going to look at directions and I'll just do it. So a lot of the time I was getting in trouble at school because I was distracting people that really did need to listen because they might not do that. So I was getting in trouble, but also teachers were allowing me to do things because I was funny. So they were also laughing and it's hard to get mad at somebody when you're laughing at whatever they just said. You're like,
no, that's absolutely true. Like when I very briefly for a couple of years taught high school, I finally got it. I was like, oh, that's why class clowns get away with shit because they are funny. And like, you can't keep us as a teacher. You're working so hard and you have to have your teacher face on all the time and you get tired. So especially when the class clown is being funny in at like around like 1 p.m., like a post-lunch class clown can get away with anything because you're tired by that point and you can't keep your teacher face straight.
Right, right. And I was playing to the teacher. You know what I mean? Like you play to the person with the power.
Right, like, right, right.
So I'm making fun of other kids, asking dumb questions, all sorts of stuff. And like, you know, you can get away with, and it's what I learned, like you can get away with certain jokes and with making fun of other people if you cultivate a relationship with them. Like I hurt a lot of people's feelings because I would just make fun of them and I didn't know them specifically. So like, what I learned through that was that like, you have to have a relationship with that audience, you know what I mean? In order to make those jokes and have it land with them personally. Like there's nothing funnier than when somebody, you know, makes fun of some dumb shit that you do, like your superstition stuff or whatever weird thing that you're doing. Like my friend Kelly always brings up horses and I'm like, you're going to go to, she's got a trip planned for her birthday to go to Ireland. And she's just always talking about horses, always telling me these facts about horses. Oh, that's a hay truck that carries blah, blah, blah. Alfalfa's from, you know, we're the only the people that grow alfalfa. I don't fucking care. But she tells me all this stuff about horses. So I get to make fun of her when she's like, oh, and I'm like, oh my God, you are going to meet the most brilliant, beautiful horse there and get married. I'm just it. Like just a field pasture horse that just knows you, you know? And so like, if you don't have that relationship with like a group or an audience, like you can't make fun of them. I don't think.
Well, yeah. It's like, I think the difference between in-group stuff and somebody from the in-group making fun of somebody in the out-group. And also like, there's that concept between of punching up or punching down, but when it's right. your friend or somebody who trusts you, it's just kind of like right. punching, elbowing each other in a funny just, way. Yeah. It's not mean. Yeah.
The fun part of like a mosh pit before like the punching in the face happens. Like, so you can have a set that's like, oh, we're jumping around and we're hitting each other, but we're having fun and getting out like all the testosterone everybody has in their bodies. Like, and, or you could take it the other way and just be like, I'm punching faces and stomping feet.
I heard that you got in the pit the other night at the, what was it, the Highland Lounge? I forget what that place.
Yeah, the automatic show. I wasn't trying to get into the pit, but I'm like, hey, if you're going to invite me into the pit, you guys better be fucking ready. Like, I just was chucking bodies. And you would think that I am as strong as I am. Like, I'm 5'5". Like,
you're tiny, but you're strong.
But I am strong, especially if I have aggression, when I'm like, you think you can just push up on my body without me pushing back, because I'm about to throw this fat man across the room.
Well, like, you, Talia, Sabrina, and Oriana all are naturally strong, I think. Like, you all have
strength. But also, strength. I'm a science-minded bitch. I will use centrifugal force to just, like, launch you. I'm, like, going to spin you around. I'll use your body weight to hurt other people. Like, I have tactics. This isn't just, like, I'm not coming in this blind.
So when you were, did you ever get in fights at school, like physical fights?
No, I'm pretty sharp with my tongue. So people are like, whoa, there's a sense of shame when somebody like roasts you publicly and other people are laughing. Like, yeah. You're just like, it's almost like you lose your bravery, because somebody stripped that away from you and people are looking at you in a different light. It's like, oh God, yeah, now I'm not the cool guy. I think I'm just gonna walk away from this.
Do you think that, I'm jumping ahead as we go through the biography of Gia Cognata, but do you think, well, no, I'll put it back. I'll bring it back. When you were growing up, as you started to be interested in boys and talk to boys, did you find verbal repartee to be cool, or did you want to be the wittier one? Like, was that of interest to you? Like, oh, he's smart. He can, you know, he can break balls, as we say in Jersey, but in a fun way. Or were you like, just be hot and shut up? I don't know. Or some variation.
I mean, over my like lifetime, like, it depends. My very first boyfriend, like the guy that I lost my virginity to, like my dad was like, what is the thing here? And I'm like, he's really funny. And my dad was like, Gia, date a clown. At least they have a job. Like, yeah, I do. If you're really funny, like I will overlook a lot of stuff. I'm just like, man, that guy can really string together some words. Like, I really like that. I do it myself. So when I see somebody that can do it and does it professionally, especially, I'm like, oh, that's hot to me. Like, even if they're not, they could be like a little troll of a human being. And I'm like, but he's sexy because his words are so good and they're kind of mean. And I'm kind of mean.
Oh. Well, here, so because, you know, like right now you have an increasingly successful, very successful OnlyFans, which is very exciting to me because it's something that, you know, a lot of us were hoping you would do for some time. But before we get to that, I'm curious about when you became interested in beauty, as in makeup, hair, presentation, and your mom is yeah, a goddamn stunner. So I feel like it has to come from her.
It's my mom. My mom is just like, she was so into the way something looked that I could nail down. Like, obviously there were some mistakes were made in my past. My younger self, I've seen photos where I was like, wow, a bubblegum pink dress and bubblegum pink eyeshadow. What were we doing?
But matchy, like, matchy was a moment, you know?
It is a moment. And like every woman will tell you that, like, once they start doing makeup, like, that impulse to match the colors to your eyes and lips is so strong at first. Mm-hmm. And then you learn that it's not the way. Don't do that. It shouldn't be matchy-matchy. Unless it's like a Halloween costume or some shit. You know? You're not a character.
What are you going to be for Halloween this year? Have you considered? Because I feel like you play characters all the time, in a sense, on with like what you do online.
I get dressed up a lot. I mean, like, I got a couple of different outfits. I did go to like a Halloween store and get like outfits that were already set up for me. But like, my favorite would be to grab pieces, you know, like, and then make my own, not to just go get something that's zipped up in a bag. So I do have one that I'm going to be using on OnlyFans. I'm just like waiting for some items from Amazon, but I don't even want to say what it is yet.
Don't say it. People should subscribe.
It's sort of like your regular, any regular concept for what you would be for Halloween. It's just like the way that I put things together and how I would see, you know, that. come to life.
So. You're super creative and we're always doing, and you know, one of your sisters, Talia, kept saying no free content, but I think that it's something that like I felt for years and that we've talked about was that like, you're so creative and also very beautiful and very personable. So it's like, there's so many there are different avenues you could take to express that. And I feel like you having this online presence in this new way just makes perfect fucking sense. But it also could break a lot of different ways. Like did you do theater in high school?
I did.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't something that I was going out and like looking for. It kind of found me. Like one of the directors of a play was like, come in and read. Like I was just in the hallway. I think I was in there because my boyfriend at the time was like in theater and stuff. So I was just in the hallway, but somebody was like, hey, come in and read for this. And then just the environment is fun. You know, I love make-believe. I love playing pretend. Like that's why I get along with kids. I'm like, I will invest in this narrative. What else can we add to it? How can we make it weirder? Like, so I love a fake narrative. I'll get involved.
Like, was it ever something that you thought that you felt drawn to pursue professionally? Because like in my case, right, I did stand up for years and years and it was not something I was drawn to when I was younger. It became a way for me to share my writing and my storytelling with the world. But what I found ultimately was that the lifestyle, and I was talking to somebody else about this, who's also a former stand-up comic. I found the lifestyle was not for me ultimately. And that it just was not like, I didn't have the intense love for it that would have kept me doing the shows at night, going to auditions, blah, blah, blah. So I'm wondering if like you were drawn to professional theater, professional acting, et cetera. And if so, if the lifestyle appealed to you or turned you off or what?
I mean, I like the camaraderie and the cast feeling like of, you know, being close and anticipating someone's, you know, mood or just anything, just being able to communicate even non-verbally with somebody in front of you because you're so connected and you do those exercises. So you're connected with the person, with all the people in the cast. So like it does form a bond. It's something that like families should do with each other, like make eye contact and shit, you know? but it wasn't really the medium for me personally. Like I think that it doesn't have the same instant gratification as like telling a joke and hearing a laugh. Like you don't know really, you don't know if somebody enjoyed it. You don't know. I mean, people can say it, but you don't really know. Like a laugh is so like powerful and instant and you know when it's real and like nobody's going to just laugh at some, you know what I mean? Like it's so genuine. That's what, and I'm sort of an instant gratification person. So,
well, I don't see you as somebody who would necessarily, and this is not to knock acting. I think it's incredible, but I don't see you as somebody who would be satisfied interpreting other people's words your whole life. Like, I think that you would always want to improvise, or I could see you being a writer, director. I could see you being an improviser, a stand-up comic, that kind of thing. But like, I don't see you as being somebody who's like, yeah, I love playing this role
all the time. And no, I think I probably would do more live theater just because there's an interaction there that's between an audience and a, you know, I like that. I like the energy flow. I want to be connected to people. So I don't think that I would do acting for like camera and stuff. I don't know that that would be the thing for me. It was fun. I was not super professional. I was in college and I just like discovered marijuana and I was just like, what if I could memorize these lines whilst totally high? And then I would get to school and I'd be like, I can't remember these lines. What the fuck?
Because you weren't a party kid in high school, right? I mean, your mom had you guys on lockdown.
Yes, on lock. It wasn't.
You ran a tight ship.
Yeah. I mean, like a couple times, like probably around 18 or 19, like I had, but it wasn't something that we did professionally partying until Sabrina made all that money and from that car accident we were in. And then we were financially independent because I was like, my sister has $1 million and I'm going to buy this bar tonight.
So to put that in context, when your sister was, and you know, I'll have Sabrina on and if she wants to talk about it, we can talk about it. But your sister, you were with your sister, you guys were passengers in a car, it was a big car accident and she, her neck was broken. She went through windshield, almost died. You crawled out the back, I believe. And did you crawl out the back window?
Yeah. And I crawled out the back window and then I just looked like a hitchhiker. Like I was collecting clothes off the road. I was really like out of it. I was just like,
Some before the ambulance came, you stopped some bros who wanted to be helpful and turn the car over. I think
The driver's arm was stuck under the car. So it was,
they were trying to help,
but yeah, her neck was broken. So I was like, no, what are you, a fucking bro? You are not a doctor. None of you are doctors. Get away from the car.
So it was a terrible experience, of course, obviously horrifying and certainly impacted the course of Sabrina's life and your life as well. And I, you know, again, I'll talk to her about that when she's on. Sometimes, if she wants to talk about it.
Maybe we died that day and this is our hell, you know?
Or you could just be fun ghosts, like my fun ghost friends. That would be ironic because I am the palest one and the ghost girl.
You ghost girl. I don't know if like the internet knows that. Like
they don't know about, I mean, we will get to Ghost Girl. That's very important. Sometimes characters come out to play and sometimes I'm a ghost and a girl and she haunts a ship.
Father Sarah.
Well, let me just say, so because of insurance and settlements and stuff, suddenly Sabrina had a bunch of money and you and your sister did everything together at that age often.
I did, like an extension of her body. Like she just took care of me financially and we were party queens. Like
just I, like went wild in LA, living it up.
Went wild in LA, Vegas, wherever. Like we were challenging people to drink offs, making full grown men puke in their hands at the bar. Like I was having 21 shots and I was sitting. People were stunned. They're like, how is this woman not dead? And I don't know. And I'd like to attribute it to the Native American blood coursing through my body that just accepts alcohol as part of its Lord and Savior.
Well, I've got the Irish part of my human self that also accepts that. There's a reason that we don't drink and that, you know, certain populations, whether it's nature or nurture, and I quite frankly think a lot of it is nature, have certain higher instances of alcohol related stuff going on. And, you know, thank God we don't drink anymore. The Italian side is fine. The Italian side can handle it. The Irish side cannot. And for me, but you know, you got like, do you think in addition to the fact that there's probably alcoholism, I would guess in both of our families for quite a few generations back, I know there is in mine, like to what do you attribute your experience as a very young 20 something into the rest of your 20s, like going buck wild with partying? Was it strictly because of addiction stuff or like, what was it?
I mean, it was just great. Like, honestly, you're supposed to party when you're young. Ain't nobody want a 45-year-old divorcee on welfare. Come on. Like, if you're going to do it when you're young and your body's like, yeah, we're not going to kill you. Like that should kill you in 40s. Just no, I think it was done right. That's how I would have wanted to do it. Like, and especially with money.
Oh yeah. I was just like, well, you can't take it with you. Get wild. Well, what eventually prompted you to stop drinking?
I'm codependent and Sabrina stopped drinking. So I was like, well, fine. I went on like one last blowout, like in front of her after she stopped drinking. And then I was like, maybe I'll stop.
And like, it served you well, right? Like, it seems like it, you know, you really like, you did it up and then you were done.
I did it up and then I was done. I mean, like, I'm still a super fun person. I go to parties, like, I do partake in marijuana. So like, I'm not dead, you know, I parties and I'm just as interesting. I'm just not drunk, which I like. I have a lower tolerance for drunk people though.
Yeah, I do too. And I don't want to look down. It's not looking down on people. Cause I was really like worried about that. Like, what am I going to do? I'm some fucking condescending asshole when I'm sober. And the answer is no, it's just that it's not as tolerable when you don't have the numbing medication of booze.
No, I can't get into another circular conversation with a drunk person that's like, but I'm bringing us back to the beginning. And I'm like, but I'm not going there. Okay. I have to stop. If you're not making sense, we're not talking. Thank you. Where I think a lot of people just entertain that guy and let him talk in a circle for hours. And I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, you're wasting time. Go to sleep.
Well, pretty soon after you quit drinking, you almost died for a few years. You just continually almost died for a few years. So yeah. While your sister had a discrete, as in discrete, like point to it on a timeline, horrifying, traumatic accident. Not to say that she didn't almost die other times, but that was a pretty significant one. But you had an ongoing health issues that had you in the hospital a lot for a few years.
Yes. Yes, I did. I've had a lot of blood transfusions. Like, I'm anemic. Like, those memes are relatable to me when people are like, you stand up and then you faint. It's almost like being on your own brain's drugs. Like, you'll just stand up and be like, I am so lightheaded. It's like, I just did some drugs. But it's really your body and, like, blood everywhere. And how will we do it?
what are some ways in which you know, but it feels like you're health kind of, it seems like at least that after a few very, very fucking difficult years, you were able to get to, or your body got to a more stable place with it. Like, is there anything you attribute that to?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I stopped drinking. I stopped smoking cigarettes. I was working out. I was eating right. You know what I mean? Like, and I still do those things. I mean, I'm less, like, I was really regimented at first, just being like, I wouldn't eat any refined sugar. I ate very like low glycemic fruits. Like, I was very strict about the way that things went. Like, I'm more lax now. I enjoy like stuff with regular sugar in it, but, yeah, definitely like a whole overhaul. Yeah. You kind of have to, if you're like sick.
Yeah, it seems like you really reset your body in a way and reset your health, like, which at a really important time, because those habits, I think once you, a lot of times you have to be regimented at first, and then as it, your body gets used to it and it kind of gets integrated into who you are and the changes happen, you can be a little more chill about it because your body has sort of readjusted. And that seems to be what's happened with you. You glowing goddess.
And I want to like, enjoy stuff. I don't want to be like that person. Like, I still want to enjoy pleasures. I just don't enjoy them like all day long or like every day.
Right. You found more balance in your life, it sounds like, or continue to look for that.
I do. I mean, I think we all do. You know, we all have those moments where we like go out and we like consume a little bit too much or have,
oh yeah,
take a little bit too much, but like, I think it's so easy to just like slide down that slide instead of just being like, oh, it's just one day, you know?
And not like, lose your shit. Exactly. Yeah. Like yesterday, I ate a bunch of delicious soft pretzels, not a bunch, 2.5. And I'm not counting calories or anything like that, but I started to feel gross because it was a lot. It was a lot of Auntie Anne's that I hadn't had in a while. And I was like, ugh. And then I was like, Sarah, started to beat myself up. And I was like, Sarah, you can have some fucking green stuff tomorrow. Like, chill out. It's just enjoy this while it's here. It smells delicious. You're having fun. And not going to extremes, I think, especially if you're raised with extreme mentality, whether that's through religion or your parents or whatever, like it takes a long time to be okay with just sort of chilling out, being in the middle, not making a huge move. And saying, now I have to restrict all of these things in order to feel alive. Like, no, it's okay.
Right. Or I'm a lost cause. I might as well just eat 54 Auntie Anne's, you know?
Yeah. Until I actually throw up. Like, let's take it to a really disordered, troubling place. Oh, now I've puked. This is fine. Like, sometimes I think that getting older, hopefully doing, you know, therapy or whatever kind of recovery or healing we have to do, sometimes I'll go, oh man, I'm boring now. But was I ever exciting when I was drinking a bunch and waking up and having diarrhea?
You were exciting, but not because of the diarrhea. You're still exciting. You're an interesting and strange person. You are not normal. Nobody wants you to be normal. Like, I don't want to be normal. I was exciting and interesting because I was exciting and interesting when I'm coherent. When I'm not, it's probably annoying. And like, that wasn't my best version of myself. Like, as and like drinking that much, I don't think so. There's no way to convince me of that.
The first time I met you and your sister Sabrina, you were telling stories at a show at a wine bar, and I wasn't intrigued because you were both having wine or something. You know what I mean? I was intrigued. So I was like, these stories are wild. And you were both so funny and uninhibited and clearly enjoying yourselves. And I was like, that is fun. Like, I talked to Sabrina first. I was just like, I want to know this person. And then when I saw you both on stage telling your stories, stage is an exaggeration. You know, it was one of those, right. it was a tiny sec, but there were some interesting people there. There's a microphone. It counted. And I was just like at this random wine and cheese joint or whatever the fuck it was with my girlfriend at the time, who was one of the hosts. I was like, this is fun. And I just thought you were so interesting. And then later we started talking online and then in a group chat and then actually hanging out. And it's funny because I'm like, oh, now I know I've met all four of the sisters in your family, but neither of the sons. So to me, they're theoretical. Like, to me, your brothers are theoretical. I'm not sure they're real.
Well, you know, we have to protect them. You might impregnate them or something.
That's true. I could make them pregnant. I could make them both pregnant. Yikes.
No,
totally, totally cool.
Very cute. So you're right. We should get on that.
You have imaginary. I don't need to meet them. I kind of like the idea that maybe the four of you collaborated to make up these brothers.
We invented two brothers.
And like, you're really good at like, it's sort of, you sort of naturally take to tech stuff. So I feel like you could have really like done a computer simulation of these two alleged brothers.
You know what? I promise you that I haven't done a computer simulation of my brothers. Say hi to Sarah.
Hi. Hey, nice to meet you.
It's going to be your birthday. He exists. He is real.
It's a real, you have real brothers. That's very exciting.
I have one of them I live with.
Yeah, your family gets to, thank you for proving that you have a brother. I mean, yeah. I'm not convinced that wasn't a robot that you built for this, but that's fine. I feel like your family sees each other. Some of you see each other quite a lot, which is interesting to me because I know a lot of people who never see their family, and I see my family a fair amount, but is that a function of just having so many siblings that it's like a party or a cast or something?
No, it's part of a sickness. Like, it's part of a sickness. I don't think you're supposed to be that close to your family. I don't think you're supposed to see your family every day. I see my family every day. Like, but I don't think you're supposed to, not if you want to love them.
Well, you have, I mean, you've done so many things in the course of like different things you work on. Like, you've been a tutor, you've worked with students with developmental disabilities, you've been a nanny, you've been a makeup artist, you've done a bunch of different things. And this brings me to the fact that you're doing OnlyFans. How, first of all, okay, OnlyFans. .com is a website. I believe it's an application on the telephone. Is it an app on the phone?
I don't have it. It's just, I use it through Safari, but I don't know if there's an app. I'll download it. My God, that would be easy.
I don't even know if there is. I have no idea. So OnlyFans, like what are the options for, you know, somebody who's interested in being on OnlyFans? Like, what would draw somebody to be on, not as a like patron or whatever, but as a content creator, like who's on there? What are they doing?
As a content creator, I would advise, like, if you already have people that follow you, you kind of already want a following. Like if you just have 300 of your closest family and friends, like, and that's what you've got going on in social media, it's going to be really hard to, because it's going to be mostly like your cousin and uncle that are signing up for your own. Like I had a lot of just random people following me on Instagram, and the same thing with Facebook. Like, I had a lot of followers just because I was saying crazy shit. And then I'm somebody that will occasionally drop like a massive thirst trap out of nowhere. And people are like, oh my God. So I had half and half, like people that were there to hear me say some crazy shit, and the other people that were just there because they saw a photograph that made their boner hard. Like, and so sometimes those worlds would collide when I'd be like, look, you have no idea who the fuck I am because you didn't read my words. You just looked at my butt in this pic. So like, calm down. But, you know, they also had their purpose in my life, you know, like, and it has been so fun. It has been fun. Like, I like making content. I do like being sexy in front of a camera. I do like enjoy the whole process. I like getting the outfit together. I like having good lighting. I like doing makeup. So like the process itself is fun for me. I like having creative freedom to put the videos together the way that I want them. Yeah, I like the whole process. I had a friend of mine who owns a camming business to kind of ask me what I thought about it. Cause he was like, I have cam girls that are struggling to make an OnlyFans because they don't have followers. Like, and that's kind of where I just sort of fell in. I just have some followers and they've seen me over the years and I already post sexy content. So It made sense to kind of monetize it.
Of course.
Free. And
it was free content. And we were like, no free content.
It's a fantasy experience of like sort of what it's like to be my boyfriend. Like I am that person that will film videos specifically for you and send them to you and just see like, can I get him to quit his job today?
And so how many videos? So let's say I want to join your OnlyFans. I make an account and like as a patron, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is my account. Here's where my payment information is. Let me go a searching. And I see your OnlyFans, which is what's the URL?
It's the Gia Monster.
The Gia Monster. The GIA Monster. And so what do I see? Do I instantly like, do I have to pay money upfront to OnlyFans to be a subscriber to the site, or do I subscribe to your content specifically?
Okay. So you can go on OnlyFans and there are lots of content creators that are on there that are free. And in fact, like a lot of subscription pages also have a free page just so you can kind of peep it. And It is, it gives you certain options that a not free account doesn't. Like you can charge people to just talk to you if you have a free account. So it's different in that way where you can, for your subscription page, like people can freely message me, but they have to pay just to get in. Okay. And I haven't yet done the free version just because like I have my hands so full with just the subscription page, because like all of my efforts are going into making sure that it's the best that I can make it right now with what I'm, you know, using. So I haven't really focused on the free side of it, and which is fine. You know, I've only done it for a month, but I do like it. Like,
and you've done really well. Like people have really been interested, and it's sometimes, right, it's people you know in real life, but more often it's strangers or people you've never met in real life.
Well, I mean, a lot of people just sign up and they have like a random user U17986. And then sometimes, and I don't know why, but people will use their like full name, like first and last. And I'm just like, really, guy from high school? Really? Why? Do I looking like I knew you were gonna look, but like, why do I need to know that you're looking? Like, it makes it weird when I send like private videos. Cause like, so you sign up for my page, it's like $11.11. And that's just to access my wall. And okay. Is there nudity on my wall? Yeah, there's nudity on my wall. And I'll do like short clips there. And then there's like pay to view, like little specials that I'll do inside your inbox. So like sometimes I'll just pick certain people, or if they're my like top paying customers, like I'll pick them and just send them a video because like they've already tipped me out so much, like they should just get it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like I'll know the certain kind of content that certain users want because they'll ask. So mm-hmm. I'll peddle it to them, like the certain things that I think they'll want, like talking videos. Certain guys just want you, they want to hear your voice. They want to hear you saying things. So,
do you get any like ASMR requests? Is anybody ever like, please? Because no, on YouTube, there's a lot of free ASMR that's sexy, but I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if some guys were like, I need you to tap with your fingernails on an object. That's not a dick.
No, I don't get any ASMR. I do get a lot of talking requests, but I do it anyways. They're getting it because I don't know why, but there is a lot of like, what do you want? Like whispering. And like, mm-hmm. especially if you're wearing harnesses and stuff, there's sounds like chains. It sounds like.
Yeah. It's natural ASMR that just happens.
It does its own thing. And I'm like, cool. Like, I didn't expect that I was going to do that, but all right. Like, I'll get into it.
If you ever made a YouTube page, I think Sabrina would have to disown you if you had an ASMR page. But if you ever made a YouTube page, it would be time and effort to do like just very chaste ASMR stuff. But I feel like people would go nuts for it. People go nuts for a sexy lady being like, I'm going to
eat a pickle.
Tap on this. I'm going to eat a pickle.
Do you hear that? That's my teeth. You hear that?
Somebody messaged me on like Instagram or something, was like, I saw you in the comments of my favorite ASMR artist. And I was like, yeah, okay. Like one, like I love ASMR. And sometimes usually the people who I'm into.
No, you are the first disgusting person that I've ever heard say ASMR artist, and I'm ready to die.
ASMRTs? Okay. Yes, it is true. I like the ones who I used to be really into like salon ASMR because I just love a salon. I find it very soothing. I was raised in salons, my ancestral homeland of New Jersey. But now some people are really into tapping. I can fuck with some tapping, but I would say what really soothes me is when somebody, it's just some fucking hippie simulating the experience of like doing a sound bath. Are you trying to fondle a brush?
Yes. I'm gonna scratch the bottom of my shoes for you. Like it's that weird shit. But I haven't done that for them yet, but I think
Just see if anybody wants like a weird shoe tapping video.
You want me to scratch a dildo on camera? Cause that's what I'm gonna do. I hope you like the sound. It's just like nothing. It's just me going like.
What if it's a dildo and you're using a cheese grater and just staring unblinking at the camera?
Ow,
nobody would love that. Well, what is the sort of ideal, do you call them patrons or subscribers or what do you call them?
I call them
monster
daddy.
Heads, daddy, monster daddies. What's the ideal monster daddy? Like besides somebody who's giving you money consistently, which is obvious, paying for services and art, like, what should the demeanor be like? Because I'm sure that I know that we both have really received a range of communications online over the years. And sometimes they are quite disturbing and other times they're just super annoying. But what's the etiquette for somebody who wants to be, let's see, a polite customer, someone who is invited back to the experience?
I have yet to have a message where I was like, wow, that's offensive. Like, again, I have been on the internet since the internet was invented. I watched a horse fuck a man to death. Like, you're not going to say anything to me that's going to stun me. Like, really? That would be just, I would just try. Guys, get out there and try. I'm not offended by anything that like any of my subscribers have said to me. Like, yeah, are some of them incredibly sexual messages? Sure, but you're in the right place. You're not mm-hmm. in my Instagram. You're not in my, you know what I mean? Like you're paying me for tolerance and I can give that to you if you're paying me.
That makes sense. Monetizing your time and your energy.
Yeah, you're going to catch me like super sweet and kind. Even if you're like making an offer or asking me for something that I don't want, that I'm not interested in, like, have I had people offer me thousands and thousands of dollars to just eat my pussy? Absolutely. But like, whereas if somebody said that to me on Facebook, like just a friend, I would attack them probably. In there, I'm not going to be doing that. I'm like, well, this is a fantasy experience. Like, I can appreciate that you'd be willing to spend that much money on me though.
I was talking to a guy from a dating app who was like, I don't know, we were chatting a bit and I made some comment at some point about like, I forget what it was. I was just factually saying that like my shirt had just busted open or something. And it sounds like I was trying to be sexy, but I wasn't. My shirt had literally just busted open because I have giant jugs and was wearing a shirt that was too tight, was buttoned down. And the guy was like, oh, do you have breasts? I hadn't noticed. And I was like, ha ha ha. And I was like, honestly, that's a lot of times that's what people lead with. And he was like, you know, do you think that they are trying to be flirtatious? They're trying to be assholes or what? Like, how does that come across? And I was like, it usually falls into one of two categories. One, they are actual breast fetishists, which, hey, that's great. It's not for me. That's cool. I get that I have what you're looking for. I don't have the time to, I'm not going to date you just because of that, but no shame in your fetish game, you know? The other is people who are just trying to shoot their shot in a way that's rude. And listening to you talk about this, Gia, I'm thinking to myself, like, if they were saying something like that to me in the correct arena, like in an OnlyFans situation, I wouldn't be pissed. I'd be like, you're in the right place. But it's when it's on a dating app or it's on, I'm not on Facebook, but on Instagram or on Twitter, it's annoying. It's also like they want a reaction and ultimately they want to like see some titties. And it's like, well, go fucking be a job creator, pay a professional, you fucking piece of shit. Right. Like, why do you want me to do this labor for free? Because it is labor. I'm not getting delight out of it. And right. OnlyFans to me makes it more honest and transactional in a very clear way.
Yeah. I mean, stop treating people in real life like they're OnlyFans stars. They're not. They're just women. Just talk to them like human beings. It's just super simple. But I'm not accepting. And I constantly just reiterate on my Instagram when people are trying to like message me and get a like one-on-one time, I'm like, you know what? I always respond on OnlyFans. So
yeah.
Like even if you're not. If you're just trying to talk to me, like I always respond on OnlyFans. So you can go there even if you don't want to like look at the videos. Like if you're trying to talk to me, subscribe. I'll talk to you.
There is an assumption that we as women, I think as women, as anybody femme presenting, I don't think you have to identify as a woman for this to be true. But if you're a femme or femme presenting or whatever, presenting as a woman, like there is this expectation that we owe it. That others are entitled to our time. And I like the idea of putting rules around that, of making a rubric that says, okay, what boxes are checked? You go here. Like this is where right. It's more convenient because also why should you spend the time? If you meet somebody in person and they're lovely, or it's a friend of a friend who's like, you're so funny and beautiful. I would love to take you out. That's different. But all the endless rash of shit from randoms. It's like, okay, go there. Pay the goddamn piper. Pay the pussy piper.
Pay for it. I'm promising you, like, you're gonna get what you want. Like, just be clear about what you're looking for. If it's something that I can provide you, I will do it and I will do it better than you've ever seen. it is not an understatement when I say I've been doing this forever, because I literally like, I find it important to create that content for like the person that I'm with. So if I do have somebody that like I specifically have my eye on, they're getting this content. Like I've been making these videos and stuff for as long as you could make videos.
I've seen the rough drafts of some over the years, and I think they're great. You really do put effort into it. You're an artiste. And this is a random question, but on OnlyFans, when you make videos, do they have a bank of music you can choose from, kind of like Instagram does? Okay, you get to use whatever you want.
Yeah, outside of, I haven't even made a video like through OnlyFans utilizing whatever they do I make my video and then I upload it.
How much time would you say you spend per week right now? Like how many hours between conceiving of it, filming, shopping for props, uploading and interacting online? Like how much time would you say that OnlyFans is taking right now? Because you have a full-time job.
I do have a full-time job too. I spend a lot of my free time on OnlyFans or coming up with concepts or buying something, or like I try to upload something almost every day or every other day. Like I don't really leave people wanting too much. Like I don't give a long amount of content, but I will like give you 30 seconds of something to where you're like, oh, what was that? Man, I want to see more. And then I'll be like, oh, hey, if you want a longer video, like I'm going to be sending it out in your inbox and it'll be for whatever.
So you have a 40 hour a week job. Mm-hmm. And then you're probably spending like, is it fair to say like 20 hours a week on OnlyFans, maybe more, maybe 30? Because you are a perfectionist. I've seen you do makeup. I've had my makeup done by you. You won't let a face or a video go into the world until you've precisely finished it in the best way possible.
Once it's filmed, like the process is super quick. In my mind, I already kind of know which clips I want to go where and like how I'm going to frame it. I can pick a song pretty quickly as well that I'm going to put in the background, even though like most of the time the guys really just want to hear me talking. Like I'll do teaser videos that have music behind it and then like be like, oh, well, there is a talking version without the music, because that's really what they're looking for. Like, but I'm not going to just give it all. You want them to be like, but we want that. And I'm like, okay, well, here it is. Calm down. We did both. Like,
it's going to be fine. We did both. Well, do you think that they...
Go ahead. I get up at 5 and like after work, I come home and I'll probably like veg out for like an hour. And then I start the process of like the OnlyFans creating the content. So like I'll work out and then I'll take a shower and then I'll get ready again.
And what's your goal with like, are you socking away money for a specific purpose, or are you just like, I'm saving for retirement, or do you have specific goals?
Like, I would like to cultivate something bigger, you know. I would like to invest money, obviously, like in a bigger sort of business. Like, I don't know what that means. I don't know if like one day you're going to catch me with like my own sex toy line or something, or you'd be like, well, that was weird.
Startup for our detective agency, Little Italy Investigations, where I am the office manager?
Little Italy Investigations, where we create more mysteries than we actually solve.
Yup. That is our, the people do need to know about it. It's important.
I am an OnlyFans content creator, but my true passion is detective work. And you know this.
I know this. And I so appreciate it's even more of a passion for you than freezing heads of people you love is new. But I do believe, and I don't think it's a passing fancy, but
I'm creating that mystery.
Right. That's a mystery you're creating. But ultimately, you are really great at finding resources immediately. Like when some story breaks, you'll be like, bah, 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 and I'm like, whoa, how did she find all these? Like, do we need to cite these in AP style in a bibliography? She really found some shit.
When Gabby went missing, like I found that police footage like before people were even posting it. Like it was on YouTube. And yeah, I want to know the information. I was like, this dude's going to kill himself. Did I not say that?
You did. You said it right away.
I was like, this dude gonna kill himself and you're gonna find journals because he thinks he's Jack Kerouac, but he's not.
You did say Jack Kerouac.
Detailed journals from this motherfucker. Like, people care about his words. Like, obviously we want to know what happened, but also nobody gives a fuck about you, dude. Like, you were out there being controlling. Like,
and you could sniff the narcissist out right away. And the fact that this was somebody who it seemed like had been coddled and saved from consequences, maybe their whole life.
He just, like, struck me as a small man, and small men oftentimes need to feel big around someone. And she was also like, she was just so like that video. How do you not know something bad's happening to that girl?
Yeah. You are a true crime. You are a profiler by nature and a true crime investigator. And I think it's good that we're talking about the fact that while you are an OnlyFans content creator, you have a full-time job, you're a hardworking gal, delightful human, your true passion is investigations.
True. If you've got some unsolvable thing that's happening in your life, hit me up on OnlyFans.
What if somebody really was like on OnlyFans, was like, I need this mystery solved, Gia, and they really paid you a lot of money on OnlyFans to do, like, you know, 15 hours work to figure it out. Would you take it on?
100%.
Oh, God.
100%. I solve mysteries for free.
You do. You know, that's the next, like, level, because we've gotten to the place where you were creating really beautiful erotic content for free. And now you're monetizing it. Thank God. I'm so happy. But you have been solving mysteries longer than you've been creating erotica online. And that's the next level, is you monetizing your investigative skills and putting them together.
In a Dog the Bounty Hunter way, I believe I have to have, like, licensing and stuff to be like, I'm a detective. Like,
you're going to have enough money to pay for the licensing to be a PI in the state of California.
You don't have to, like, do anything. You're just like, I'm a detective.
You probably have to pass a test that tells you what you can and can't legally do, like recording and stuff like that. You know what? I'm gonna find it out right now. People are going to hear me typing and I don't even care. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking up California private investigator license.
Yeah. Let's see what it is.
Okay. Here we go. You have to be 18 or older. You have to undergo a criminal history background check.
Okay.
You get the license through the Bureau of Security and Investigative Services. You got it. You're going to have to pay the live scan, FBI and DOJ processing fees. You get fingerprinted. Okay, here's what you have to have, Gia. Mm-hmm. You have to have either one, at least 3 years, 2,000 hours each year, totaling 6,000 hours of compensated experience in investigative work, or have a law degree or complete a four-year course in police science plus 2 years of experience, or have an associate degree in police science, criminal law, or justice, and 2.5 years of experience. Experience must be certified by your employer and have been received while you're... Look, there's some stuff, and then you have to do a 2-hour multiple choice exam. This is just if you're licensed. I mean, do you really need to be licensed? That's the question.
I feel like I fall into the first category. I've been doing this for 30 years. Get out of my way.
I will sign off on that. I'm putting this, I just want you to know, everybody is going to hear this also. I'm putting it in the chat so that you can see.
Just to be a detective, like, I'm solving crimes anyways. Fuck you.
Yeah. Like, why do you have to learn all the procedure stuff? She don't work like that. I bet in Texas, you don't have to do anything. Kind of like getting a gun. You just sort of show up and, like, you know, throw up and they're like, here you go. So
what's it take to freeze heads for a living? Like, do you probably not as much work as it goes to fake detective?
Yeah, probably. I mean, at this point, the options for you are continue to succeed at onlyfans.com/thegiamonster. That's A. B, quit that and devote your entire life to freezing heads. C, quit content creation and devote your whole life to being a private investigator, or D, keep creating content on OnlyFans and be a freelance amateur head freezer and investigator.
Yeah. I like the last option. Honestly,
I think it's great. Gio, I'm really proud of you. I'm really glad that you're doing this. I just stepped on you. What were you going to say? You're going to what?
No, I don't even know. Who knows what nightmare I was going to talk about?
Well, where can listeners to Well, This Isn't Normal, listeners of Well, This Isn't Normal, find you on the internet or elsewhere?
Instagram, you can find me at the Gia Monster. Actually, anywhere you can find me as the Gia Monster, THEGIAMONSTER. Twitter, Instagram. I'm under my actual name on Facebook, but like, who uses Facebook anymore? True. And then my OnlyFans.
Gia Monster.
Gia Monster. But I think it's easier to just click the link in my bio on any one of my social media to get there. Because I have trouble like finding people when I search for them in OnlyFans. Like when I do a search, it'll just be like, that person doesn't exist. I'm like, what? No, I know they do and I'll have to go to their link. So just go to the link in my bios. You can follow me on Instagram for free content. And then if you're like, my God, like, it's just not enough. I have to see her nipples. Like OnlyFans.
My final question is, now over the course of the panty, I've fallen off with it, but I got really into like doing very basic makeup looks because I'm a very basic bitch, but watching YouTube and really enjoying it and like having fun with makeup and stuff. But I have to like defer to you on this question, which is like, what do you think I should be for Halloween? And like, let's just say that it's, you know, that I bought a really crazy goat mask that's terrifying. Let's set that aside. Let's just say I could use that at any time. But what do you think I should be for Halloween that would be sexy, but where I could cover up these titties when I'm around the children? Like, you know, a lot of cleavage around the kids is a lot because there's a lot of small children in my family and they do think it's a snack bar and I can't have them constantly clawing at me. So something, an outfit that will work well at the family party and then at the like bonfire party on a farm with people from high school that I'm going to later.
Okay. I'll tell you what first inspired me and then I'll tell you what, like, as a person that I would do personally. Okay. For me, I'm ghost girl 110%. I think that we went for a ghost girl look and you weren't even trying. Like, what if we took it 150% ghost girl? I'm talking like a sailor girl outfit. I'm talking about white makeup. I'm talking about dark eyes, like sunken in. We've got the voice going the entire time. No one can talk to you without talking to ghost girl.
Ghost girl is here. Everybody, ghost girl is a girl that we invented. Because I'm very pale and also my pores suck up makeup. So she lives on a ship. She haunts the Queen Mary in Long Beach and she loves Long Beach. She's maybe from a Victorian era, not sure, but really loves Sublime and really anything to do with Long Beach. And now you know who Ghost Girl is. She comes out to talk sometimes in the group chat.
Oh, like initially when you said it, that's what popped into my mind. Go full girl, Ghost Girl. What are we doing? Like, let's take out of hiding.
That's a good point.
That I thought was just something that I have a connection with is I will go and I will find like one specific piece that I really love and then I'll create a book around it. Like they have these gorgeous like Maleficent like feathers and horns like on Amazon. So like if you look through, and what I will do is I'll go through like YouTube and I'll watch videos of what people say, like, oh, this was really high quality. And then I built my own look around this thing. Like, so I'll search for like Amazon Halloween costume and I'll go through like a ton of videos before I find one that I'm like, I kind of like that piece. And so that's what I kind of do. I will look at other people's YouTube videos just to kind of get a review on the thing that I'm going to buy. And then I piece together my own sort of look. So I do like a dramatic thing. And oftentimes I'll pick more than one costume. So I'll have like two in the bay. Because you never know, an early Halloween party. And then on Halloween, you don't want to be the same thing that you were when you went to that party on the 22nd.
You know what I just realized? The farm party is first. That's on the 30th. The grown-up party is on the 30th. And then, I mean, I think there will be some children there, so it's still good to have options. And then the family party is on the 31st. Oh, this makes sense. And I'm going to stay at my parents in between, probably. Maybe. I don't know.
Like a sexier, not a OnlyFans version for the adult. And then like a ghost girl from a ship with the curls.
Yeah, ghost girl. She's dead from a ship. She's dead on a ship.
She's got the half up, half down hair. You know this.
She's got the ringlets and a very white face, which is not going to be a challenge for me. She haunts the Queen Mary. I know that much. And I'll just be like, yeah, this is Ghost Girl. She haunts the Queen Mary.
I would drag you to the fucking Queen Mary and take a picture of you in front of it. I'd be like, no, you got to get on a plane right now. Like, it's time. You need to go home.
I wonder if I can. Yeah, I think a ghost girl. I think Ghost Girl's the way to go. I think I could do the Goat God Pan for one. Which I think would be I just like the idea of being disturbingly sexy because the goat head that I got is so weird. It's so weird. It's made by a wonderfully talented artist on Etsy. I love supporting the independent artisans, but it is terrifying. So having that and like cleavage and some kind of sexy goat outfit will just be, I like a confused boner, you know, I like when it's
confusing.
A man feels very bad, but also good about his boner. And I feel like this would, and women will just accept it and celebrate it. But I think that, No, it should be a terrifying kind of boner situation, but then Ghost Girl is for the children, you know?
She's for the children.
Oh, she's going to be fun.
I really hope that you're still thinking about possibly investing in some very expensive gold hoof gun shoes. And possibly you could use this clip to intro it and put the picture of them behind it. Cause I think people need to know that this is an option. Like you can be gaudy and American and also a goat.
I think that when I drop this episode, I think that it will be promoted with a series of photos, including like you looking great, us being adorable together, Ghost Girl, but most importantly, the fucking gold hoof, the shoes that you found that are like, it's a goat's foot, but the hooves are golden guns, like guns.
Yeah, the heel of it is a gun, and then the hoof is gold, and then it's like a goat leg sort of boot. It's really stunning. It's something I found a long time ago when I was on my gun kick, when everybody started to go crazy about, what will I do if you take my gun? I was like, yeah, what will I wear on my feet? You take my guns. It's like, who the fuck are you talking about? You'll live.
Dude, I have to interrupt you. I'm sorry. My friend just texted me. Great. Now I'll have nightmares about goat mask. People really respond to it.
It's really scary.
I just want to say that your youngest sister, Oriana Cognata, who's a talented musician, as said before, she's great. When I sent her the goat image, which I believe is I sent her the goat image. She responded, very weird goat. Have you looked up the taxidermy dressed up rat selection that Craigslist?
Oh my God. Why is she there?
She goes, even weirder. They make them do poses. Sent me a photo.
Horrifying. I haven't seen that yet.
I'm going to play my response for you right now.
What about making it do that in real life? And shockingly, no, I have never looked up the taxidermy rat section on.
Why does she know?
So weird. Oh, no. She's like, I feel like it should be dark web stuff because they put the rats into very weird poses. But I was like, well, because they buy them dead and then taxidermy them. And that's just, you know what? That's just a conversation. That's a Cognata versation. That's just a Cognata conversation.
I'm sure that we're going to go back to Twitter and just see like a meltdown. I don't know. We said something weird before we left, I think.
Oh, let me see. We sometimes do have fun.
Or did you retweeted something weird that I said.
And my said something very funny as per usual. You are truly one of the funniest people I've ever met. And no surprise, you've done stand up. You're great at it, but I think you're just like, whatever. I don't need that in my life.
No. I've done a little bit of stand up, mostly just storytelling. I go to therapy, so I'm cool. I have a therapist that gives me the same attention, but also great advice. So it's like better than just.
Oh, it's so, I wish more stand-ups would just go to therapy and work it out there and like find their true bliss. Okay, let me see. I'm going to look this up. You know, sometimes we do have conversations on the Twitter, and I'll tell you, people get very excited about it. Okay. Oh, you know what? I asked the Twitter. I said, I'm interviewing the king, Gia, for my podcast. Well, this isn't normal. Among other things, I'm going to ask her about OnlyFans, what it's like to be my cousin and biological father, and more. If you have questions, let me know. Don't be annoying. She will end you. And, you know, people were afraid, I think, because I said that you would end them. So they respectfully did not ask questions, which I appreciate. But I retweeted something delightful that you said that I'm going to find in just a moment. Don't worry. Don't worry.
I remember what it was about. It's about people acting like they do on Twitter in real life.
I think it's, yes. Oh, yeah. Which I think was very relatable, which is why I retweeted it. It's clever and relatable. You said, ooh, a lot of people retweeted it. Normalize bringing that Twitter energy to real life. Scan the crowd at comedy shows for people who aren't laughing at the same jokes as you and fight them in the parking lot so we all know how cool you are.
I'm done.
People liked it.
What the fuck do you care? You know? Like, what the fuck do you care what people didn't find funny? Like, let them not find it funny. It's fine.
Yeah, like it's I. Well, that's one thing that I respect about you is that you'll fucking tell people when you think something is shitty and, for example, transphobic and fucked up. You'll tell people that, but you're also like, you can say it if you want to. I'm not censoring you. I'm not telling you not to say it. I'm exercising my right to tell you that I don't like it, but you get to say what you want.
It's wild because people are like, oh my God, censorship. And I'm like, did you hear the words? Because if you did, then it wasn't being censored, number one. Number two, what are you talking about, cancel culture? Like other comics and like a deep disturbed fan base will get like so worked up and be like, cancel culture, people are canceling. I'm like, no, here's what's happening. Like this comic has the freedom to pick whatever material he wants or she wants and put it out in the universe. That in return, the audience is also allowed to have a reaction to that. It's the exchange. Like then what happens is if you've said something incredibly divisive or inorganic or attacking a certain group, like a company can decide that you're a liability and they actually want to sell stuff to all of the people, not just the people that support you, and they will remove you. They will remove their support from you. Like your brand is toxic to their money flow. That's capitalism. That has nothing to do with cancel culture. People can't cancel you. Your fans will still be there. Okay. Mm-hmm. That concept is crazy to me. I'm like, just let it happen. Let what's naturally happening just happen. Like if you're a good comic and you've cultivated a relationship with like whomever you're making fun of and you can support them and also poke fun at them, that's different. Like if you have no relationship with them and you just want to be like, go fuck yourself, you're going to get the same reaction I did when I was 16 and doing it. Like people don't like you. They're going to get mad at you. Cultivate a relationship with people that you're making fun of. Like it's like grade school shit. How come people don't know this? Like
it's super obvious. And it's like, you know, there's a difference between sitting all day looking for shit online that you don't like just so you can throw a tantrum on Twitter for no fucking reason and responding to something that's being pushed on you through billboards, advertisements, sponsored ads on Twitter, sponsored Instagram stuff, like a TV special, for example, something that's being talked about in the cultural zeitgeist that you can't avoid, that's huge, and going, you know what? I don't like that. That's not for me. I think it's fucked up. I'm not about it. Like, and that is not bullying. That's not looking for somebody who is quiet and doesn't want any attention, or somebody with five followers and okie finokie saying some shit. That's responding to something big that's in the culture and saying, I don't fucking like it. It's not censorship. It's just respond. We respond to art. That's what we do.
I'm just at the point where I'm like, hey, if you've got a bunch of cis white dudes rallying around you, better look in the mirror. Something's wrong. You're doing something wrong.
Like, something scary's happening.
You're two steps away from a Klan meeting. What are we doing? These crazy white men, if they are supporting your cause.
And that's the primary audience that's supporting you, right?
Exactly.
That's weird.
Problem. Like, because they ain't got problems. Like, they're the people we should be making fun of. Like, they ain't got the problems we got.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I'm just tired. I'm just tired of hearing like the same cis white male comedy. I'm done. Like,
mix it up. Get wild, kids.
I'm tired of it. I've heard it so much of it. Like, yeah.
When you've done time in the comedy trenches, like, you just...
You can identify something incredibly inorganic as well. Like, when a man steps on stage and he just want to tell you he can eat pussy, so he's, like, concocted a whole joke around it, and I'm like, still don't believe you can eat pussy, and also wasn't funny. Like, so you concocted this whole thing to tell us that you're some sexual maven, and the reality is, I just want you to hide your horrible, disgusting face and body and get the fuck away from me. Like, be funny if you're gonna look like a fucking trash can person. Like, I have no tolerance for it. Like, go home and fucking write. Stop complaining to me. Are you a comedian? Are you whining about cancel culture? Why are you wasting time not fucking editing your shitty material that you've submitted over and over and over again to different comedy festivals? The same fucking clip nobody wants to hear. Get out of here. While women aren't even like, we got women being like, it's not good enough. I'm not going to submit. I'm like, oh my God, really? Because that guy's been sending in the same clip for 40 years. He thinks the material's great. I actually write this material for me. Good. Go do it in the mirror. I don't want to hear it. I'm over it.
Who do you think is, who are some comics who you really dig, whether they're famous or not? Like, who do you think is very, very funny, whatever medium they're working in, that you enjoy? They can be dead. They can be alive.
You know, I love my friends. So I'm going to say a lot of my friends' names, like Sophie Alexander. I love Chris Fairbanks. Like, I have a lot of close friends that are in comedy. So I guess, like, I would always throw my support to somebody that I've actually been to one of their shows. Jackie Monahan, she's brilliant. Mm-hmm,
she's great.
And so, yeah, the people that I know, but also like their comedy hasn't been plastered across everywhere, like for the past several decades. And like
Robin Tran is really funny.
Robin
on Twitter.
Tran is so funny. So funny.
You turned me on to her. Her jokes are so funny.
But yeah, I like funny things. So like even the music that I'm listening to is going to be kind of funny. Like, I love Marc Riviere. He is my soulmate. I love him so much. He messaged me back on Instagram and my heart melted. And I was like, what is this, what people feel like when they think marriage is going to work? Like, this is what I feel like maybe the institution of marriage could work, Mark. Please. You make me believe in things that I know couldn't happen.
Is he's the, what do you call him? The remix daddy?
He's the loop daddy.
The loop daddy.
Oh, he's so brilliant. Shows, I was just grinding on everything. I was a 12-year-old boy with a plush couch. How do I fuck the folds? I love this.
Mark Riviere.
I say Riviere. It like that. He does, but I will be Mrs. Riviere someday.
Mark
is, he's just delicious. He has a delicious energy. He's got a funny and fun, but also messages in his music. He's very creative. He's doing it on the spot. It's just brilliant shit. Like, I get so involved in it.
He sounds a little bit like, I mean, I've seen some of his stuff and I liked it a lot. He reminds me a little bit in some ways of Reggie Watts, like the spontaneous aspect of the stuff that mm-hmm. Reggie will do on stage when he's improvisational. But Mark is a whole situation. I feel like there's also some physical movements that are very erotic. Sometimes there's a dance situation, a vague dance. He's collaborated with Erykah Badu, I think, online. Like, he's done really interesting stuff.
He does love collabs.
Gia, this is delightful. I love you. Thank you for being here on Well, This Isn't Normal.
Thank you so much. I have been wanting to talk with you on here anyways, so I'm glad we got together and did it.
Come back anytime, Father.
Yes, I will come back to the fake, to the internet, to the ether, and meet you there.
And that was the Giannina Gabrielle Cognata and Sarah Benincasa. That's me. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you especially to the Patreon supporters. Again, patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa is where it's at. I hope you had fun with me and Gia. That was us on a scale of us 1 to 10. I'm going to say that was us at a 5. It's a lot wilder than that, but hopefully we behavior modified effectively and you enjoyed it and we didn't horrify anybody too much. Perhaps it was illuminating. I don't know. Come on out to patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa and let me know what you think. Thank you so much for being here. I truly appreciate it. I want to encourage you to donate to Miri's List, an incredible organization that helps refugee families resettle in the United States. They are at MIRYSLIST.org, MIRYSLIST.org. I think I spelled that correctly. I've supported them for years and really enjoy them, and Miri herself is a friend of mine. Miri's List is fantastic. All right. Get some rest. Take good care of yourself. Bye-bye. Thanks for being here.